Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
This is James Avera from Hellstar and Sabbath Judas Sabbath! Rock out with your geek out!
Hey, welcome everyone to episode number 131 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Hey, this is Brutal Dave. How's it going?
And...
George motherfucking Trips is in the house!
We got... Blew out the speakers
and everyone's
We got some
earphones.
Fanfare now, man. You're here. You're back.
That's right.
It's been like a month, man.
It feels like it's been a month, yeah.
It's been before Comicpalooza.
Yeah, maybe like
everybody's
a week
been
or
busy.
Two.
Everybody's real life is taking a hold.
Yeah, I got a job. So
yeah, congrats.
I'm working again.
Working. You're part of the
paying
world.
Bills.
Well,
playing the catch-up game at this point.
Catching up to paying your bills, right? Well, congrats on that. That's awesome news.
Thank you. Thank you.
How's it feel to be back in the working world, getting up every morning and all that bullshit?
That part's not so great. Because, you know, but, you know, I do like, you know, working again, doing what, you know, I like to do, shooting video and taking pictures and stuff.
That's
so
cool. Not everybody gets to work in that field.
No, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, congratulations again.
Thank you. Thank you.
You weren't here last episode and you weren't here the Comic Clue the episode, but we're not going to get into that. You were otherwise preoccupied.
Yeah, I got double booked, basically. Yeah. And you had a famous person fill in for me, so I think...
Dave?
Yep. Yeah, no. Of course.
You're Dave. Welcome.
No, yeah, I had Ming on the That's live right. show, right?
Yeah, if we can't... Who else are we going to replace George motherfucking Tripsis with?
I don't know. Nobody else better than best friends or friends with Kevin Smith, right?
That's true.
That's what you put under his asterisk, right, on his card?
I would put
Ming,
that on my card.
Ming, friends with Kevin Smith.
That's where we got his start from, so I would put that on my card. I wouldn't have any bones about that, man.
No, I didn't say it like it was a bad thing.
No, it's a great thing.
Ming's
a great guy. He's a really cool dude. And
yeah, it's awesome that he's such a pro podcaster and nice to his fans, or I guess.
Oh, he really is.
I don't know if you want to call the people that go to him his fans, because they're not like... He doesn't do anything to have fans.
He's on a TV show, dude.
Really, though? It's a reality show.
So it doesn't matter.
It's like Pawn Stars in a comic book store.
Yes, it is. It doesn't matter. He still has fans that watch him.
Okay, sure.
When you're on TV, you become bigger than life.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's really...
He's still himself in person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think his fans are friends now once you get to know him.
He friends you on Facebook when he meets you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's how he has such a big network. That's why he's opening that geek bar, restaurant, whatever thing.
Yeah.
Giving Neil's bar a run for its money is what he's trying to do.
Well, they're not going to be doing alcohol, so it's
it's just coffee.
Yeah. Just coffee type of bar.
Which makes sense. Which makes sense, because I know...
That way you can get all the youngins.
I know Ming,
he's really
Ming loves
coffee.
Neil's bar.
Yeah.
And I think he would certainly recognize that he'd be stepping on those toes, especially they're going to be in somewhat close proximity to each other. So
yeah, this is not too far away from, because Neil's bar is in the downtown area, right?
It's like right behind the George R. Brown.
Right behind the George R. Brown, and this is going to be closer to U of H, which is only about 10 minutes away. So it's cool. I'm excited. They're going to have a podcast area there. I don't know what kind of setup they're going to have yet, but. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, hopefully we get to record there.
Hopefully. I won't be drinking any coffee because I'm on a coffee dude.
Not yet.
No, never. I don't like the taste of it. I don't like the smell of it.
You just got to find the right coffee for you.
I've told him about beer.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, I told you it's true. You just got to find the right beer for you.
I've tried beer. Nope.
Really? You got to try the light stuff, though. Light stuff first and then work your way into the heavy stuff. Like, I still can't do Guinness. I don't see how people drink that shit. Dave's looking at me like I'm crazy right now.
Guinness is a okay stout. It's fine.
Like that kind of beer, like those dark stout beers.
No, I like stout beers. I don't think Guinness is a prime example. I think there's far better ones out there. Guinness is fine. I like Guinness, but I think there's better stoutier beers.
Okay.
Than Guinness.
See,
there's something something a little funny about the texture of Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the thickness.
Irish.
Most.
Is it like you taste things in it?
It's almost. I'm not sure exactly how to describe it, but it's almost like it's a little oily or something,
like molasses or something.
If you try the Guinness Extra Stout, you have to like tap the back of the bottle to get it out, like a ketchup bottle. Like, that shit's thick.
Wow.
Gross.
Yeah, I don't want that.
There's some kind of texture thing about Guinness that isn't, that kind of detracts from it. Like I said, I like Guinness. I think it's fine. There's better stouts out there. And
we went to,
but if you don't like coffee, then, cause that's one of the prime,
we'll just find
flavor
you
palettes for stouts.
We'll start you off on like a frap or something. And then it's just downhill.
Like a frappuccino?
Well, something like, but it won't be a frappuccino, but
no.
It will just be a down slide hill from there.
I could do without coffee. I'm okay.
Okay, if you say so.
Yeah.
Before you know it, he's going to be like...
No. Yeah, that's what flavor I cannot stand. I cannot stand the smell of coffee.
Oh, I love the smell of coffee.
I like to just walk down the coffee aisle at the grocery store.
Oh, God, it's my favorite when I go in the grocery store and you walk past the coffee aisle. Ugh. I like to just stand in that middle aisle right there for a little bit. Just...
Yeah, I don't do that. All right, so what have you guys been up to? I know, what have you been up to?
Me?
Have you seen any movies? I know Dave and I talked about some of the movies we saw. We'll get your opinions on a couple of them.
Sure. Movies I've seen recently. I saw Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't think we talked about that together, but I saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Volume 2.
And then I saw Pirates. And then
Pirates of the Caribbean
5.
Men Tell No Tales.
Right. And then I saw, what the fuck that movie's called? Alien Covenant.
That is what the fuck is called.
It should have been called Don't Make This Movie.
Oh,
is what it should have been called.
Wait a minute.
All right. Wait, okay, I was like, what are we waiting for?
No. You didn't like it at all?
Alien Covenant?
Yeah.
No, I hated it.
Really?
Yeah, it's fucking waste of time.
I knew that was going to be his answer.
I knew too, and he probably didn't like Pirates.
Oh, you knew I didn't like Pirates because I told you I didn't like Pirates.
What about Guardians?
I liked Guardians. I thought it was good. Although I have this theory, it's definitely confirmed now. Disney hates parents.
Dude, that's been the case for a long time.
Like they hate parents and they hate father figures. That's why every fucking father figure in every Disney movie dies.
It's definitely true.
Yeah, it's ever more present now, more than ever.
I guess both of his dads died.
Yondu died. Spoiler alert.
Whoa,
anyone's listening, it's been like 3 months since that movie's been out, so, or 2 months.
And Ego died, too.
Yeah, and then and Pirates, spoiler alert.
Whoa, hey, no, that one's too new.
It's three, like, almost a month now.
So?
Spoiler alert, if you're listening, I'm talking about movies. Fucking... Stupid Jeffrey Rush Barbosa has a daughter, which was totally telegraphed and totally stupid in the movie, dies in the movie.
Their love dies, you mean?
He dies for her to save her and Jack Sparrow, which doesn't make sense. And it was stupid.
You just didn't like that movie, did you? Did you have fun at Pirates? I mean, I
wanted to, but all the gags felt forced and it felt like when I was watching it, it felt like this would have made a great ride, but it makes a horrible movie because all the spectacular stunts they did weren't very spectacular, and everything about Jack Sparrow was pretty damn boring, and it just felt like everyone in the movie was just tired and didn't want to be there.
The money they got paid to be there probably says otherwise, but...
Right, but God, I'm glad this is the last movie. Let it be over.
I bet it's not the last movie.
Definitely not. They're going to reboot it somehow.
Look, it's not the worst movie because the last movie before this one, Stranger Tides,
yeah,
that was worse. This was better. Not by much, but it was better.
I will agree that this was better than On Stranger Tides.
Right. But I did not think Dead Men Tell No Tales was very good. The script was horrible. It's like they were tippy-toeing on a really good idea and never went there.
Okay.
And
I can't agree with you on this.
And I didn't like what they did with Jack Sparrow. He was just not fun to watch at all on the screen.
He was sort of boring in this movie.
Like, he's boring ever since the third movie. After the third movie was over, it was like, that's it. Don't use him anymore.
They have to use him.
Him be a supporting character that helps sprinkle the movie.
I felt
not be
he was
the
a supporting character in this movie.
No, he wasn't. He was a centerpiece.
I don't think so.
And everything in this movie just kind of just sort of happened. There was just no, like, cause and effect. It was just kind of like, this happening, so this is happening. That happened, so this happened. And it felt like just, like, moving pieces on a board. I liked the bad guy, though. I thought the bad guy was cool.
They always do a good job with the bad guys.
Yeah, the bad guy looked cool as shit. What was his name? Salazar? Captain Salazar. He looked cool. Yeah.
Javier Bardem. What's fun to me about, like, all of the Pirates movies, and we talked about this a little bit last week. Like, I said on the last show that I always feel like the Pirates movies are almost guilty pleasure worthy for me.
They're becoming that, yeah.
But I love them, though, and I enjoyed this movie.
I had fun, sort of, but okay. Then when I started analyzing afterwards, I was upset.
So, I had fun, and that's all I was hoping to do. And so that was it. I was like, okay, cool. I'm happy with it.
And
you know?
all the jokes were bad.
Part of that,
all
though,
the jokes.
Part of the fun of all of the Pirates movies is that the villains get to totally chew up the scenery and be completely over the top. And they're kind of like, they've always done a good job with.
Yeah, I wish they would have had spent more time with Salazar in this movie and really beefed him up and made him seem scary. It never felt like we spent enough time with him to care. So, like, when he gets defeated, you're like, oh, all right, cool.
They defeated the bad guy? Spoiler alert.
Come on.
He was good.
Like, I felt like this would have made an awesome ride. Like, have they, like, Disney turned this plot line and, like, cut out about an hour out of it and made it into a ride, it would have been amazing.
Well, we haven't been in the one in Shanghai. That is technically amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to go there.
And then... Also, for this being the shortest Pirates movie...
Was it?
Yeah, it was the shortest Pirates movie. It felt the longest.
It did feel long.
And I was like, ugh, just be over.
I think this is... And then last week when we talked about it on the show...
I would have burst your bubble last night, or last week.
It was my second favorite, but now I'm thinking about it, it's probably number three for me. One, and then two, and then this one.
I love the original.
I like
the trilogy.
Better than three? I like three better than two.
I think really? They work great as a piece, like as a set piece together, because I think the story, even though they weren't filmed to be chronologically feel the same, they tied it well together, and the feelings there, and the art direction. I don't know what Gore Verbinski brought to the table when he did Pirates, but when he left, you can tell something changed, and they haven't had that spark since the third movie.
I don't know if I can agree with that one.
I do. I agree 100%. Gore Verbinski's style and taste really brought something special to those movies, and it's just not there. They're not funny. The spectacular moments are not spectacular. Like, the whole opening sequence was boring.
I'm trying to remember the opening.
Opening sequence with meeting Johnny Depp in the safe.
Oh, yeah.
It was stupid.
That was a big set piece.
The funniest thing that I really... Yes, that was a big set piece. There was a big CGI moment where the building blows up and he's like falling in slow motion. Yeah, that's a big set piece.
Yeah.
There's a giant building sliding across an island. It's a big set piece.
Pretty much.
The funniest part I thought was the guillotine. I thought the guillotine thing was hilarious.
Yes.
I thought that was a funny gag and I thought that was executed well.
Ha ha ha.
No. Oh.
And wow. I thought the mayonnaise joke was funny.
What was the mayonnaise joke? I don't remember.
He did a callback to mayonnaise.
Yeah, about how the French made the mayonnaise.
Yeah.
He's like, "Ooh, the French. I love the French. Did you know they make mayonnaise?" Yeah. Apparently that was an improv line.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's why it was funny.
All right. So let's go into Alien Covenant now.
God, man. Alien Covenant felt really lazy. It felt like Ridley Scott didn't want to try to make the movie he originally set out to do when he made Prometheus. Because I loved Prometheus. I thought it was great. And I thought he had a point to make with Prometheus, and I thought it was going to go somewhere and be different and new and show us a side of Alien that we'd never seen before. And then we got Alien Covenant, where we just got a remake of Alien 1 meets Prometheus with all the bad parts of Prometheus.
So I'm a little surprised to find out that you like Prometheus.
I like it a lot. I think it's probably... Next to
Alien, I am too. Most next people hate that movie.
Yeah, like next to Alien.
I think in this room, we collectively make up everyone that likes Prometheus.
And Justin. I know Justin likes it. Me and Justin talk about Prometheus a lot.
We're the four people.
I think Prometheus is like an underrated movie. It's really smart and it's fun to watch.
Prometheus was one that, like, when I watched it and I left, I kept thinking about it.
Right.
And as I kept thinking about it, it got better the more I thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like a lot of the criticisms that people gave the movie were shallow criticisms.
Yeah, they were very stupid criticisms. On the surface level kind of stuff. Yeah,
very surface level kind of stuff. I did, for a while, I was watching Covenant and was going, he's not just going to redo Alien, is he? Like,
I was hoping, it was like, oh, this is kind of weird. He's doing the same thing over again.
Right.
I wonder if this is going to lead us somewhere. Nope, never did.
So I liked it. I thought it looked great. Ridley Scott did all of that stuff really well.
It looks beautiful.
It great looking movie. So something else that I thought about Prometheus when it was the new thing, in my kind of analyzing it afterwards, I'm thinking about it and I'm going, Ridley Scott is sneaking in an entire new sci-fi story under the guise of Alien.
Right.
He's using Alien as a vehicle to tell a new story.
Right, and that's what I loved about Prometheus.
And I've actually, since Covenant came out, I've actually read other people who have expressed that same idea, that he's sneaking in and he's using Alien. So, but I've also read where Ridley Scott says that... he kind of was trying to do that with Prometheus, but he felt like a lot of the backlash was that there wasn't enough Alien
in it. Well, he was forced to put the Alien in the movie in the first place.
So he's trying to...
Now he's trying to appease the fans.
Maybe pander a little bit?
It was too much.
But he's still trying to tell... He's still trying to tell this other story, because the best parts of the movie... are Fassbender.
Oh, yeah. Michael Fassbender is amazing
in
that movie.
He's awesome.
Even though the twist was so obvious.
No, the twist was bad, and we talked about that.
We did talk about
that. The twist was handled very poorly. We agree on that. But that aside, all of the scenes with the androids talking to each other,
mm-hmm.
that's what the movie's about.
Sure, but also, I didn't understand why kill all the engineers. It made no sense. And then also...
I think it made sense.
It doesn't make sense.
I think it does.
And also, how did he create the xenomorph when, on the other planet, when they didn't know anything about the engineers were worshipping a xenomorph-like statues on the wall?
So, Prometheus and Covenant together do play havoc with the alien mythos.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Prometheus does it, too.
Directly against each other, too.
Right. They definitely wreak havoc, and it throws the whole, like... Ridley Scott is basically like, if I didn't do it, it's not part of Alien.
But he
like,
did Prometheus.
Right. So I'm
which
kind
came
of wondering...
first, the alien or the egg?
Well, but...
They never answered that question either.
That's true.
But there's no queen.
Right. I understood that because he wanted nothing to do with James Cameron. And James Cameron was like aliens with a fucking dollar sign at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Aliens is more of an action movie.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the franchise for Alien should have stopped, to be fair. And then I was intrigued when Prometheus came out.
Well, you know, the first one I ever saw in the theater was Alien 3.
Wow, I'm sorry. That was a bad one.
It wasn't horrible. It was my really first foray into it.
All right. Your first edition? My first was Aliens from James Cameron.
Yeah, I think so.
And then I went back to learn... that, it's an actual horror movie with one where the, you know, give me a hug, alien.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was just, I didn't like the movie at all. I there was really cool scenes in it. Like, I liked how graphic and vicious some of those aliens were. And that would have been cool if, had they got to that alien, we found out that, hey, those engineers have those aliens on their planet. And they just kind of harvest them. And that's what they send to other planets. To fucking get rid of them and shit like that. And, like, was that city the only city of engineers? It was just in that one city? All the engineers? I thought it was a whole planet.
I can't answer those questions.
And why did they go on a planet with no spacesuits on? Why not send the android down first to test out everything and see if it was okay? These are all questions that should have been addressed by a smart screenwriter. It wasn't addressed.
These are all questions. You're exactly right. I think our big question was, at the very end, how did the alien get on their spaceship?
It jumped on it.
No, how?
Wasn't it on the...
they killed that one.
They did? They
escaped. The one that was on the crane.
Oh,
it crushed it.
Yeah, he did crush it. Fuck, I don't know.
I couldn't remember either.
It just goes to show you, I stopped paying attention a long time ago in that movie.
All right, let's move on from hating on movies. Have you guys been playing any games recently or anything like that?
No.
Nothing.
Nothing new to report since last week. I've been playing Grand Theft Auto 5
because
I'm way behind on fucking everything.
That's right.
It's cool. I'm having fun. Trevor's hilarious.
I'm replaying Uncharted.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's always good.
I haven't played it in like three weeks.
Do we ever talk
about
the Uncharted news about the movie? How it's going to be a young...
Oh, aren't they going to get Tom Holland to do it?
That's the rumor, yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the right choice. Get an American actor.
He can play American pretty well.
Can he, though? Because he's Spider-Man.
Yeah. Well, you haven't seen Spider-Man yet.
Well, I've seen him.
You've seen him as a character.
I've seen most of the movie because I've seen the trailer.
Hopefully not.
90% of the movie's in the trailer.
Hopefully not. I hope not. So, I've been playing a couple games. PS4 has released the open beta for Marvel Heroes Omega. And I've been playing the hell out of that game.
Isn't that an RPG game?
Yeah, it's definitely an RPG. It's a hack and slash, you know, sort of.
Kind of like the X-Men Legends game that came out a long time ago?
Like Marvel Ultimate Alliance type of style, but it's more in depth because, like, you can level up your powers. You can, find things in the world that help get you better. Like, RPG definitely qualities there. I picked Doctor Strange for some reason because I figured he had a lot of cool, like, special, you know, long range powers, which he does. So I'm like on level 32 or 33 with him, like his level. Mm. And the thing about the game is, like, you get to play any character up to level 10, and after level 10, you need to buy that character either by, you know, what you find in-game currency type things. There's a lot of different ones. I think way too many different currencies in-game are with real physical money. So once I got Doctor Strange...
So it's like a pay-to-play game?
It's a free game. Free to download.
Yeah, but it's a pay-to-play kind of game. Like in-game purchases, basically. Yes.
It's free to download the beta.
Fucking Disney. Always just chipping...
It's not Disney doing it.
Chipping away at the wallet.
This has been a PC game for years. Probably 4 or 5 years or so. But it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's exactly what I wanted it to be. I wish I had picked a different character, maybe. I don't know. Something different, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But it's a lot of fun. And the only bad thing about it is when Kim tried to play with me, I was like, okay, so most games, like, okay, I'm on level 6 or whatever, 7, whatever level I was on. My character was powered up. The bad guys are powered up. When my wife Kim joined in, she was only like on level 1 and got her ass handed to her like all the time. So they didn't.
Well, because she wasn't at the right level yet.
I know, but most games will sort of like help that out a little bit. You know what I mean?
They would?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
You don't think so?
I don't know. If you want to hang with the big boys, you got to play like a big boy, right?
I guess so.
I guess that's what their thinking was.
I guess, yeah. It's a big open world, open game too. So like you'll be playing some levels, and there'll be other players in there.
So what other characters can you play as?
There's a lot of them, actually. Some weird ones. There's Squirrel Girl you can play as. Yeah.
Right. What are you going to do? Talk to squirrels and tell them to gnaw on people?
Well, actually, I think that's her power. Squirrels come out. Yep.
Wow.
I mean,
if only people could see the eye rolling I'm giving.
There, I mean, there's your typical roster. You have, you know, Deadpool, Cyclops, Captain America, Thor, Moon Knight in there, Iceman, Storm, you know. And you fight a lot of bad guys in the game that are straight from the comics, which is really cool fan service in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you have a PS4, I would download and play it. I mean, it's free
right now. And it's in the, if you have the PlayStation Plus, or?
I think it's just the open beta, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was a limited edition beta where you had to have like a code, but now it's just open to anybody.
Cool.
It's fun. I was also playing a little bit of Typo Man today.
I saw you play some of Typo Man. It looks hard.
It is definitely a hard game. It's a
puzzle game, right?
It's a puzzle side-scrolling action game. But the big thing about this game, it's you have to make words in the game sometimes. So you'll find letters, and you have to piece them together to like, okay, so there's a platform here, and you have to piece the word for down
basically
together.
Dave schooled us all with Dogo. We couldn't figure out what word to say with Dogo.
Dogo, yeah.
And I was thinking every other word but do and good or go. Or, you know, I said do dog. And go and dog.
Doggo.
And Dave's like, it's good.
Yeah. Okay, I'm an idiot.
I'm pretty
now.
Good with word games.
So you would like this game, I think. It's a cool, you know, platform action game.
So
puzzle game, though.
Growing up, like family game nights or whatever at my house were often word game related.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't want to fuck with my family in Boggle.
Like, we're the Boggle gangsters.
Serious business. Like, we had to keep dictionaries on hand for Boggle because everybody's like, I found this word, and people would be like, I challenge you on that word. And we're like, it's right there, dictionary, verified. That happens a lot. Nice. So
never playing Scrabble with those guys.
Apparently not.
Or Boggle.
Definitely not.
Speaking of, I played Monopoly for the first time. Holy shnikes.
First time ever?
Yeah, the board game Monopoly. Yeah.
Did you play any like special version of it, or was it straight Monopoly?
We played the version in the rules.
Was it some kind of branded Monopoly game? Like
No. It was just the cheaper
just
version.
Like the plain.
Yeah, the $12 version at Target.
Okay.
I wanted to get the Classic Edition, but the Classic Edition is $20.
What's the difference?
It looks old. Only difference.
So it looks retro.
Yeah.
What piece did you play as?
I played as the car.
So what other classic board games have you never played?
I never played Clue.
Really?
Yeah.
Just introduced my oldest daughter to Clue.
I like that game.
One
of my favorite movies of all time.
I've never played Sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
I may not see. Which ones? There's Sorry and there's Trouble. I've played Trouble. I think I haven't played Sorry.
Sorry's the one...
where you have to slide your
little
discus. I've seen people play. I've never played myself.
And the purpose,
and I've never played Trouble either.
You can knock people off and you have to start back.
And then
the
you say, sorry.
Yeah. I've not played that one. Yeah.
What about Life?
Yes, I played Life once.
I attempted it once, and I was probably way too young.
I had to play it in school one time. It was like a school activity.
I'm attempting to play Life right now, and it's not going so well.
I'm on my last dollar in Life.
I had a football coach as a history teacher at one point, and we spent like a straight week one year in this guy's class playing Risk.
Okay, that's a game I've ever.
I've never played Risk before
I've
either.
Never played Risk.
You guys, okay, it's on now.
He's like, fuck Risk.
Okay, no, Risk is
don't they have a Star Wars Risk?
They've got all different kinds. I have a Lord of the Rings Risk that I don't think I've ever even opened. But
sounds like we need to open it.
I have Risk 2210, which is like a future sci-fi version of Risk.
Wow.
That includes like underwater colonies and moon colonies and stuff.
That's
like
cool.
That too.
So the whole point, if I remember correctly, I've seen people.
It's a
play
world
Risk.
Domination.
Yeah, you're trying to dominate the other player's world, right?
You start out controlling a share of the world, depending on like how many people are playing. You divide the world up and you spend the game trying to take over territory from everybody else until there can only be one. Is kind of the, you know.
Gotcha. We should totally have a game night and play.
We should have a game night. I think. What about?
Is it a two-player game only, or
there are alternate rules for playing two players? But it makes it like there's stuff that you kind of have to add in. I think what they do if you're doing a two-player game is you have like a third neutral non-player that only plays defensively. Doesn't I don't think they have an
so there's offense. Just like a referee.
No. There's so like. Like if it's just you and me playing,
yeah,
I'll take over a third of the world. You take a third of the world to start the game, and then the last third of the world is this like neutral party,
Australia,
who plays defensively but doesn't play offensively, right? So you still have to take over their territory too. I think that's one of the like two player variants or something like that.
Gotcha. So it's normally just a two player game.
No, you want more people to play.
Okay.
Because the more people you have playing, you can start making alliances and then stabbing people in the back.
Oh, so it is like Monopoly. Like
yeah. So
I learned in Monopoly it's the art of the deal.
Yeah, that is true.
I bet Trump would be good at that game.
I don't know, Moody. We're not gonna go there. Let's move on. I think we got some topics to go over. We have some George Hates Metal returning. We have a good band picked out for you this evening.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, yeah. And then we got to think about what's tickling our geek, and we got some topics to actually talk about tonight.
Woo!
Let's get into it. Spoglądam w niebo w poszukiwaniu znaku. Back to the show, and this is our George Hates Metal segment for the week. A band that we picked out, something I've been really into recently. It's very different than I'm used to listening to, but it's really cool. The band is called the Night Flight Orchestra,
right?
And this is their third album that just came out. I didn't know that they've been around this long. They popped up randomly for me when we were watching our YouTube. We were watching Nuclear Blast random videos. The band came up, and the video was total like 80s with tracking problems. It was 4x3.
Cheese.
It was
great. 80s cheese.
And my wife is the one who had to point out to me, isn't that Speed from Soilwork?
I thought that dude looked familiar.
It is.
He just looks weird with all that hat and glasses on.
Yep. So this is sort of a side project band for him. Sort of a
side project. I say joke band.
It's definitely not joke band.
It's a joke band where they can have fun and joke around.
Well, yeah, they can have fun and play joke. What they want. But yeah, it's not around. A joke band. Okay, I disagree totally with you on that one. So let's get your opinion besides it being a fucking joke band.
I thought it was fun. It was cool. I'm very surprised that you would like something this energetic and fun.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was cool. I'll probably listen to more of it. I would never originally seek it out, but if it would have came up through a list, I'm like, oh, it has a beat to it that you can tap your foot to.
So it's considered Swedish classic rock AOR band. They are on Nuclear Blast
Records. What does AOR stand for?
Adult-oriented rock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, if I see that tag on something, I kind of know what I'm getting. I just didn't know what it stood for.
Album-oriented rock is American FM radio format focusing on album tracks by rock artists. It evolved basically from progressive rock radio in the 70s. So a lot of stuff that there's a lot of bands that are out there that definitely fit this. ELO is definitely AOR, that type of style. A lot of stuff on the fucking Guardians of the Galaxy.
And Journey and yeah. All that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. A lot of stuff that's on the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtracks fits in that mold.
I could see that.
I see this band could fit on the Guardians soundtrack really well.
No, it has too new of a sound to them. Even though they're mimicking
it's
80s.
A retro, yeah, AOR sound, but I don't know. So in the band, let's get into this real quick. Of course, you have Jorn Speed Strid. He's a vocalist. You have Charlie D'Angelo, who has been in Arch Enemy, Spiritual Beggars, King Diamond. Richard Larson from Von Benzo. See, the guitar players I do not know. Jonas Kilsback from Mean Streak, and I guess Sebastian Forslund. This is the third album called Amber Galactic, and it came out in May 2017. So, leaving it to you now.
I thought it has fun. It's a cool beat. If you like 80s rock, if you're like a fan of Electric Light Orchestra.
Yeah.
Or if you like Blue Oyster Cult, you know.
I see Blue Oyster Cult. I see a lot of ELO Suite. I hear a lot of that kind of stuff in there.
Yeah. So it's fun. It's definitely fun to listen to. I'll check out more. I don't know if I'd seek them out specifically myself, but, you know, they're cool.
When I found out about it, I showed it to Justin. I text him about it right now, and he texted me back 5 minutes later. He's like,
microchip just blew up.
Something in his head exploded. He's like, this is my new favorite thing ever.
Yeah. I think he only likes it because the dude's from Soilworks.
Yeah, but it's really fun, catchy music.
And I would be surprised if Justin listened to this music on his spare time.
I think he does.
If I ever catch him listening to it, I'm like, what the fuck are you listening to?
It's NFO, man. Come on.
It's like, this is not your music.
Let's get Dave's opinion on the band.
I don't have strong opinions about it. Like, it's interesting as a novelty, I guess. But
see, I'm joke band.
Not a joke band.
It's kind of a joke band.
I don't agree with that. People agree now.
I don't agree with
it's that. It's a real thing.
I think of joke bands as, like you said, like totally just like, what's the name of that band you're talking
about? Austrian Death Metal or Death Machine, whatever.
That type of stuff.
They're a novelty.
These guys are just playing. They're playing homage to stuff that they grew up listening to, and like.
So was Austrian Death Machine.
It seems
not really.
It seems like they're doing it with a kind of hipstery sense of irony about it, though.
I don't know.
I'm not saying it's the same thing as Austrian Death Machine, which is clearly like it's just for the comedy.
Yeah.
Like they're clearly taking pains to. You make a sound, like make a recognizable soundscape that you would associate with
sure.
Air and everything like that. There's some craft to it. I'm not arguing that. But they seem to be kind of tongue-in-cheek about it to me.
Okay.
Especially when all the songs are about lesbians.
The videos are about lesbians, yeah, for sure. Go seek out the video called Gemini on YouTube. It looks like the hit classic heavy metal movie.
Yeah,
it really does.
On the what?
The movie, heavy
movie. Oh, well, sort of. Like a cheap version of it, maybe.
It totally looks like it.
No, it does not. When was the last time you watched heavy metal? The animation in heavy metal is far, far superior
but it's
compared
not,
to
no,
that.
No, I'm not. I agree with that. Like, it's not, the quality's not as good, but it's still the kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess, like, the heart of it is there.
Yeah.
The lesbians kissing.
Is that all you remember about the heavy metal movie?
No, I'm talking about this video.
Oh.
And the other video we saw, too. Yeah.
Lesbians.
So yeah, that's Night Flight Orchestra. I dig them. They're fun.
Yeah, definitely a fun band to listen to.
All right.
If you like kind of 80s rock.
Who doesn't?
Some people don't.
Well, that's true.
Like the people we're going to talk about in our topic tonight.
Maybe that's true.
Right.
Let's get to that. All right, we'll be back in a minute.
Balls?
Yes. Balls indeed. We are at our topic portion of the show. We have a lot of topics to get through tonight, so let's not waste any time. We have probably like a list of like 5 or 6
sure
that are cool little things we can talk about. First of all, let's
this is what happens when we don't record for a month.
It's true. Let's talk about this hipster metal article that David's brought to us.
All right.
Yeah.
So there was,
that was a groan for happiness.
Yeah. There was this article that I came across a few days ago. And the one that I found came from Death Metal Underground, which so far in my experience is a complete shit show of a metal blog. thanks, Death Metal Underground, for being a complete shit show.
Has Dave's stamp of approval.
They're not a sponsor.
No, they're not. So, and it was one of their bloggers responding to a write up. By a filmmaker who did a documentary on the Maryland Death Fest some years back.
Right.
I'm not familiar with that film, but He wrote...
I know the event, that's about all.
Yeah, he wrote this this diatribe. The guy's name is David Hall. Wrote this diatribe entitled Metal is the Fucking Worst.
Metal in an Age of Insincerity.
No, that's the death metal underground response
to it. Yeah,
yeah. But what they're referencing is this essay or whatever you want to call it, called "Metal is the Fucking Worst," and basically the death metal underground guys are more or less agreeing, but are saying that David Hall didn't go far enough. That it's actually worse than he was making out. And this is why I don't like death metal underground. They're a bunch of pretentious fucks. And I'm actually...
This is the first time I've heard about this blog. So.
I've read it maybe 5 or 6 times. I've read articles off of it. And every time I go there, I am disappointed that I did. Because it's either some like pretentious shit like this, or it's some like vaguely racist bullshit.
Oh, wow.
Or, yeah, like, I would maybe not like overtly, but they seem... some of the stuff I've read seems to defend some of the less favorable movements.
What's the meat and potatoes of this article?
Here, I'll break it down. So
he's gonna rap now for us. About to break it down.
Dude from Death Metal Underground says that to really understand, or to decipher is the term he uses, Mr. Hall's essay, you have to reverse the order of it, okay? And so he's already at this point broken down each section of the essay, and now he's taken bullet points from it and put them in reverse order. Okay. So he says that here is the deciphering of the article. Point one, now metal is no longer music, but a brand advanced for social status. Two, because the metal press and label sold out heavy metal, which officially died with black gaze. And what they're specifically referring to when they say black gaze,
yeah.
They're specifically referring to Def Heaven's Sunbather album. David Hall went so far as to cite the date that Sunbather came out as the day that metal died in his article.
I don't know if I can agree with that's what caused... Metal is not dead, it's just... I don't like Def Haven at all.
It's in a cocoon, reviving.
We'll get to that. Let me finish the rundown.
Okay.
So that's point two. Point three, contrary to conventional wisdom, metal died by commercialization, not by being PC, or not by being un-PC. Point four, we know this because metal has a rich history where at one point the music was real. Five, however, contemporary metal is terrible because it is narcissistic. That's his breakdown. Honestly... He's reading like way into this deal. Really, the whole thing seemed like a epic bitch fest about Def Heaven. Specifically like, I hate Def Heaven. I'm going to blame the entire imagined downfall of metal. I'm going to lay it right at their feet. And then the death metal underground guys are like, yes, but it's worse than that.
Okay,
fuckers.
I was just at a Sabaton show and it was so fucking crowded. There's no fall of metal right now.
So, fucking hipsters.
Fucking
what they point to in these truly juvenile kind of diatribes, they point to this whole idea that it was at some point like, okay, so heavy metal was formed in 1970 when Black Sabbath released Black Sabbath, and they didn't create heavy metal, but they put it on the map, and they said, we're staking this territory. And then in his narrative, there was 40 years of complete, pure, artistic output from the heavy metal world, and then Def Heaven killed it. Those fuckers.
But Ghost Bath happened after that.
So, but he's not really saying it's Def Heaven, but he's saying that Def Heaven is the prime symptom of this whole thing, but that it's commercialization. Commercialization is what did it, and no one cared. Which makes me want to ask, were you paying attention for the last 40 years of heavy metal?
Mm-hmm.
Commercialization has always, always been a part of it.
Look at Iron Maiden.
Look at Metallica. Look at Judas Priest. Look at fucking Black Sabbath.
Look at the entire glam metal movement.
Yes. Totally.
I mean,
why do you laugh at glam metal?
That's because you said it. Exactly. I was like, I was trying to find the words for it. I was like, because
I still like
it.
Some glam hair metal bands,
but this is so. What this boils down to, what both of these articles are boiling down to, is I don't like how these people are representing metal.
Right.
And
so they're killing it.
Effectively, what they're saying is these people are posers. That's kind of, they never say the word, but this is what they're getting at.
Fuck
that
posers.
Metal is dead because of posers, because hipsters came in and took over and used pitchfork
on to
and,
this
yeah
and
like
those, yeah.
We, and that it's all done with like this like sense of hipster irony.
You can say the same thing. Same thing happened to grunge rock and punk rock.
Yeah.
Punk rock hit its like peak, all these people started showing up, and people are like, "Oh, these are fucking posers."
And they had the pop punk bands, you know?
Right? And Green Day and so on and so forth.
To be fair, they make that point. David Hall makes the point that the same thing happened with the alternative and grunge scene.
Yeah, it did.
Right? I'm not saying that stuff doesn't happen. It certainly does. The commercialization does happen. Do people start bands literally every day to latch on to whatever trend is going on in metal right now?
Of course they do.
Absolutely they do.
But so does every other music trend.
Absolutely. Agreed. But what this whole thing kind of boils down to for me is this: they want to be the gatekeepers of what metal is, right? They want to determine what's real and what's not, and you don't get to do that.
No,
nobody
Shouldn't it just be like, if people like it, so fucking what?
So
just because 100 people over there like it doesn't mean I have to like it. Doesn't mean you have to like it.
Right.
Let them have their fans. I don't think Def Haven have destroyed the metal scene.
I mean, as shitty as that band is, don't get me wrong.
They are pretty shitty.
Yeah. I mean, they're not the problem with music today. They're the people who keep buying their albums.
Well, yeah. In the band that now want to sound like them. I mean, I don't hate their music per se, but something about that band, it feels like they're very fake. Like, I do not like the vocals. That does not fit. It's just they're just trying way too hard. And they, like, when we saw them with what, Killswitch Engage and Anthrax?
We saw them with Lamb of God.
Lamb of God, okay.
And Anthrax.
That does not fucking fit.
That whole lineup didn't fit.
No, it didn't.
But, you know, we were there.
Yeah.
So, like you said, if you wanna like it, like it. If you're concerned with the fact that these people who show up who don't seem to have an understanding and appreciation for the history and the heritage of metal or whatever the fuck,
right?
That, well, then that's a problem. There's just a bunch of fakers, blah 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 blah. Okay,
but what about teenagers that just discover metal?
Everybody has to show up somewhere.
Right.
Everybody has to step in at some point.
So that makes them less metal than me?
And that's a problem. Isn't that a problem?
That's a problem.
That's a huge fucking problem. And I'm actually going to read this. We kind of got into this discussion on Facebook, and I'm going to read some of my own words, if I may.
Oh. Because, words of wisdom. brutal words of wisdom.
So, because we started talking about posers. And right. A friend of mine joked, posers is the perennial problem for metal. He's making a joke that everyone's always so concerned about, oh, well, posers this, and oh, and that's not real death metal, that's not real black metal, it's not true, blah, 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 whatever.
It's not
it's
true
bullshit.
Cult and
it's
all this
bullshit,
kind of stuff, yeah.
Okay?
It's all opinions.
I said, if your scene can be brought to its knees by people with a passing interest in it, or those who pretend to know more than they do, then that scene is truly weak. First of all, if that's all it takes to bring your shit down, then your shit sucked to begin with.
Metal's been around
right
for over 40 years. People that started listening to metal in the early 70s, when the 80s came around, when stuff starts to change and evolve and move around and different genres and stuff like this.
Different people from all around the world.
Exactly. People are not going to like everything that metal is. You don't have to like every single band. You don't have to like every single genre to be a metalhead. This, because if you're stuck in the early 70s with Black Sabbath and Priest and all that, that's perfectly fine. You don't have to like black metal or power metal or Metallica.
I tell you all the time I don't like power metal.
I know, and you're fucking wrong for it too. But
same thing with glam metal that shouldn't exist either.
You're more of a hip-hop guy, right?
That's not true. I like music.
But you like a lot of rap.
I'm a musical man.
Okay, well, you like rap
more than we do.
Right. That's true. I do like rap more than you
do. I made a comment earlier.
It doesn't take much to like rap.
You don't have to like every single rap artist that's out there.
Oh, I don't.
Because what you might think is good with Run the Jewels, you might not like some other rap artist.
Oh, yeah. I can name a billion rappers I hate.
There you go. It's same with any kind of genre of music,
sure.
Be it pop music. It's been this way for like 100 years. You sure, know?
You can say the same thing about any genre of music. People are going to same thing with metal and
parents bitch about their kids' music, and it goes down generation to generation to generation. That's all we're fitting in now.
Yeah. So you just what we should be listening to is the Beatles, is what you're saying. Beatles and Monkees.
Yes. All the time.
That's what we should just be listening to.
Pretty much.
That's the end of the discussion here. So, just start listening to more Beatles, everyone.
So we went further in this discussion. We're talking about, who is a poser to these people? Like, what constitutes it? And it boils down to, if you're concerned about posers, someone asked, well, what is a poser? And in a kind of sardonic way, I said, it's someone whose interest in the thing, whatever the thing is I'm heavily invested in, represents my scene in a way I don't personally approve of and is therefore a threat to my fragile self-image.
You know,
because that's what it's about.
Yes. See, I never interpreted a poser as that. I
totally agree with that. Being called a poser or being a poser, it's people trying to fit in. If you're not, I'm comfortable enough where I'm at now to say, I like this band, I do not like this, I don't like that. And that's, I'm not being a poser because I'm true to myself. But back in the day, I'll admit there was stuff that I would listen to or go to shows of bands I didn't really like that much because I was trying to fit in better, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does that.
See, I don't. Well,
So I kind of wrapped that this the conversation. I kind of wrapped it up, and this is going to be the last quote of my own that I read. But said that it came up that I was saying if you've got a problem within metal, that's a problem within metal. You outside forces don't fuck up a scene. The scene fucks up scene.
Agreed.
And then I said, so outsiders can certainly have an effect for good or bad, but they're not the threat that these gatekeepers want them to be. If you want to solve a lack of education among newcomers, if they have a genuine interest, find out what they like and why and help them learn more in accordance with their taste, then help them branch out. There, you've turned a poser into the real deal. But that's not really what it's about, is it? It's about the self-image of the gatekeepers. And we've watched the same thing happen in the convention scene as well. The same thing goes on there.
Any scene, yeah.
In short, if you are overly concerned with who is and who isn't in, over actually enjoying whatever it is, you're the poser.
Boom.
You might be a poser.
You might be a poser.
Because the guys calling posers became posers.
If a poser is somebody who is expressing an interest in something in this kind of like overinflated way that pretends to be more or know more and more than they really are. That's what a poser is.
Have y'all ever seen that movie SLC Punk?
Oh yeah.
That's exactly what this is about.
No,
SLC Punk actually does deal with this very issue.
Yes. Go watch the movie.
This has been around forever. This is not a new topic or a new problem.
Yes.
So I was going to say, what I always thought a poser was until we were, brutally educated by Dave here.
Brutal education. That's a new segment topic.
The way I interpreted posers, and I probably still do, is when people pretend to like something, even when they don't.
Yeah, I totally agree.
That's part of this, though, is it's where you're trying to wear an image that is not genuine.
Right.
That you're, and I think at some point, especially when you're young, that seems like a way to integrate yourself into something.
Sure, it's a stepping stone.
It's a stepping stone. I'm not calling out those people. I'm not saying that that happens. That's part of the development process, especially if you're a teenager or whatever and you're finding a scene that appeals to you, but you may not fully understand why yet. You got a lot of learning to do. It happens. My problem is these assholes who feel like, well, I've been sitting on top of the metal mountain for 30 years, and I get to decide who gets to come to the top and who doesn't.
This is just them getting on their soapbox and bitching.
It's like those damn nerds in the comic book store, like in the old school comic book stores.
These guys are a fucking comic book guy from The Simpsons.
Yes.
Fuck these guys.
Like, this happened to my first time I went to a comic book store. It's like, oh, you never read comics before? You don't belong in my store.
You don't know the 40-year history of this character? Oh, you can't read it now.
He's like, you don't know anything about Batman? I was like, I've seen the TV show. That's nothing. You don't know shit.
Yeah.
Get out of here, little boy.
Exactly what this is.
Yes. Absolutely. Fantastic. Glad we agreed.
Want to go to a happier topic now?
Yes.
Super Nintendo World is coming to Tokyo and then to California, Hollywood, and to Florida, Universal Florida.
Universal Studios.
I'm excited for this.
We talked about this like maybe a year ago.
Yeah, we talked about
it. We called it is what it is. There was rumor that we were talking about it. Like, they were going to get rid of some stuff, and what will be the next thing they should build. And we were talking about it. What would we like to see?
We were talking about it when there were
inklings. I'm pretty sure we all agreed they should make a Nintendo Land.
No, there was already inklings of a rumor for that when we were talking about it, but we were talking about what kind of rides we wanted to see, and we all...
Man, don't take my finger away from the butthole of the pop culture pulse here, all right?
You can leave your finger firmly
inside the butthole pop culture pulse.
All the way up to your knuckle, second knuckle if you want.
Yeah, there you go. I got my finger up the pop culture butthole.
You might even get a couple fingers up there, you don't know. So we talked about some of the rides we wanted to see. One of them that we all agreed that would be pretty amazing would be a Mario Kart ride.
It's not Nintendo Land without Mario Kart.
Exactly right. And they did, the first ride they did confirm is, we are making the most state-of-the-art Mario Kart ride.
Yeah, leave it to the Japanese to do it. Of course they would do it.
Oh, it's not the Japanese. This is Americans.
I thought this was going to be in Japan first.
Well, it's opening in Japan first, but...
So the ride will be in Japan first. So obviously they're the ones creating the technology.
But Universal Creative is mostly here.
It doesn't matter.
It does not matter. You're getting way off topic points.
So they haven't announced what it's going to be yet, other than saying that it's going to be very technologically advanced. We were talking earlier. I made a prediction that it's probably going to be some kind of VR or some kind of enhanced experience.
Enhanced, for sure. I think they're going to take elements.
3D roller coaster is what
they're
going
to take elements from things that are working, like the Transformers ride they have. Some of the technical, you know, advancements they have with the Harry Potter ride, sort of like a roller coaster that goes into...
You know what it needs to be? It needs to be like Transformers meets the Buzz Lightyear ride.
Yeah, that could be cool.
Or the Men in Black ride that they have.
Yeah.
If they ever get rid of the Men in Black ride, this is what they should put in its place.
See, I don't know where they're going to fit all this into Florida. Hollywood, for sure, because they just had a... They took down an amphitheater to build the Harry Potter attraction area, so... I don't know. This is cool news, though.
Yeah, it's super exciting. So, besides Mario Kart, what's the next big attraction you want to see?
I know we've talked about this before.
They're going to have to do something Legend of Zelda.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, Zelda would be cool. Even though I don't really like the Zelda games, it would be cool.
You have to do something Zelda.
Everything needs to look like 16-bitty or 8-bit.
That's what it's going to look like. It's definitely, they've shown some concept art, some videos and stuff like that.
So there's going to be like a blocky Mario walking around?
It looks kind of like, from what if that video is at all accurate of what's actually going to be built, it's going to look like, so you're going to enter the land by walking through a giant green tube.
Yes.
That would be cool.
Like in Mario.
It would be cooler if you go down.
And
but
that would be difficult.
It would be difficult to do.
But the arch that you walk under is a Mario pipe, green Mario pipe, and you walk through, out, it looks like the landscape of like a Super Mario World.
Yes.
They need to have
the cliffs,
like a drone,
and the castle and everything.
They need to have the drone, like a drone moving around with the dude with the star the whole entire time in the cloud.
Yes.
They need to make that work.
So they talked about, they're not only going to have attractions, but they said they're going to be shopping experiences and restaurants.
Of course.
Too.
I mean, because they got a fuck ton of Nintendo merchandise.
And they're going to make money off of that. But Nintendo, we're probably missing, not that we care about it, we're probably missing one of the biggest Nintendo properties, which is Pokemon. They have to have something.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be a lot of Pokestops there.
Well, yeah, there probably will be. But, you know, we can't forget about that. I mean, even if we don't like it, I mean...
Well, it's for a younger generation.
It'd be still... There can be some really cool attractions based off of that. I still think
there should be some... ride the Pikachu ride?
Maybe you get into a giant Pikachu.
Ride the lightning.
Ride the lightning.
Sorry. It could be a cool kiddies, dark ride attraction, sort of like the Cat in the Hat ride is.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun. Something like that. That would be cool. I don't want it to be like I don't want it to be like another like kitschy Dr. Seuss portion of universe,
right?
Universal, because as much as I like the Dr. Seuss portion, I think it's too small.
Yeah, and it's very tiny
for something this big as Nintendo. They really need to like amp the guns. They should be like a Donkey Kong ride where you're in a mine cart and your mine cart jumps and shit.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That would be awesome.
Or the balloon, or not the balloon, but
it'd be like the closest thing to Temple of Doom I'll ever get.
The Donkey Kong Country, the barrel levels where you shoot out.
Yeah,
that should be a roller coaster. You shoot out of the barrel and then
it could be like the Despicable Me ride.
Yeah, I'm sure they're gonna be some stuff like that. I think the Mario Kart ride is gonna be sort of that type of ride.
Sure.
There should be something Metroid, which should be cool. I mean, they haven't really made a good Metroid game in a long time, but
yeah, I'm about to say, but how popular is Metroid amongst all the other things that is
Metroid
on the
Metroid is one of my favorite Nintendo
licenses.
Me too. But Metroid is one of my favorite Nintendo properties, but I feel like as far as so if you think big Nintendo properties, you think obviously Mario, Zelda, Pokemon, Metroid. Those are kind of like the big four. And I feel like overall Metroid gets the least love, but it's one of my
favorites.
I think
you're forgetting Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong's a pretty big part of their history.
I think Donkey Kong is part of the Mario mythos.
Oh, okay.
Like, under the greater Mario umbrella.
A few minutes ago, there could be a cool Castlevania-style, like Haunted Mansion attraction.
Are they a Nintendo property?
Castlevania?
Because
they're Konami, I think.
I was going to say, the first one was Konami, at least.
I'm not sure who.
So this is gonna be a giant Super Smash Brothers section, right?
I'm pretty much sure.
Or like this is gonna be like a tournament showdown at this place.
They have a lot of
video game nerds
here,
are gonna flock to this place
because Universal has been putting out some amazing technology recently. They're killing it. So I'm looking forward to what they can do with these.
So what's the date we're looking for this?
No idea.
No date in sight.
They just did the groundbreaking like today or yesterday.
Well, I mean, Disney has a date in sight for Star Wars Land.
Yeah.
And they haven't even started building for that.
I want to say I saw 2020.
They took them 5 years to do Avatar Land.
Yeah, but they didn't want to do
it. That's true. We talked about that last week.
They were perfecting it, is what it is. Y'all are hating on Avatar a little too much. I mean, the movie wasn't great, but it wasn't that bad.
I'm not making a judgment call on the movie when I say that. I'm making a judgment call on Disney's decision to roll with it.
Oh,
I think they have buyer's remorse.
I don't doubt that. They're like, fuck, we could have just had more land for Star Wars.
But
so, I'm looking to see. I saved an article earlier that I think mentioned a date, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, we can just skip the date. People really want
Orlando Informer is.
Did I hear about the Warner Brothers land that's opening up in Abu Dhabi or whatever?
Abu Dhabi gets all the cool shit.
Yeah, God, I want to go there so bad.
I do too.
They have a metropolis there.
I saw a video.
Gotham City.
I saw a video.
And a Hall of Justice.
They have a place called Ferrari World, right?
Yeah.
And there's a roller coaster there that is the fastest roller coaster in the world. It goes up to 149 miles an hour.
Maybe we should just open up a Metal Geeks GoFundMe page.
To go to Abu Dhabi?
So we can all go to Abu Dhabi and just, you know.
I want to go to Shanghai and Tokyo Disney first.
I don't know, but Warner Brother Land, Warner Brother Park, wherever the fuck it's called. I want to go to Gotham City and hang out with Batman.
You can sort of do that at some of the Six Flags too,
in
a way.
Six Flags.
Well, they have them there though.
They recreated a street of Gotham City there in the Hall of Justice. You get to be in the Hall of Justice.
2020 is the expected arrival
for Japan.
Yes,
so we can probably look at it like a 2025
probably.
Yeah.
Okay, so
it's gonna be a while, guys.
Here's some information about this. From the pipe that you enter in, Mario enters the type of central plaza, which very may well be where a number of the promised meet and greet characters will be, such as Princess Peach and Mario and Toadstool. The land rolls out in all directions from the central point.
They gotta have Yoshi, right?
Peaches and Bowser's castles nearby, and a series of cascading platforms positioned for both the beauty of the scenery and the preservation of Super Nintendo World sightlines. That's pretty cool.
So I don't understand, why don't they just build them both at the same time? Or they're just building this as a tester to see if people are actually interested.
Okay, this is cool. They're going to have huge audio animatronic piranha plants guarding the castle. They're going to be huge.
Huge.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't understand. Why don't they just build them both like here in the States and Japan?
No, they are.
At the same time, though. Like, so they open at the same time.
I think they're ready to build in Japan first.
Yeah, but why? Why do it there first and not U.S. or vice versa?
You gotta ask Universal for that.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Like, are they using Japan as a tester?
They're gonna find room here in the States, in the parks, because...
There's room.
Not really. You've been to Hollywood?
Universal
Hollywood?
No, I've never been there.
There's not much room there, dude.
Well, just build it in Florida. Florida has the room. Just take down some rides that nobody goes on anymore.
Like the Fear Factor attraction?
Yeah, the Fear Factor attraction, Men in Black ride. Although the Men in Black ride...
Men in Black ride is awesome, dude.
It's fun, but it's dated. Like, you walk on and you feel like, fuck, this shit came out in 95.
Well, yeah, it did.
Yeah, that's what the ride feels like.
So they're adding more... I heard a rumor about Universal that, you know, they just opened the Volcano Bay theme park, the water park.
Mm.
So they bought Wet n Wild, which is like right across the freeway. And they're going to tear that whole place down.
Isn't that what happened to every Wet n' Wild was across the freeway from another amusement
park? Pretty much. So they bought that, and now
maybe that was their business plan the whole entire time.
So the rumor that I've heard now, probably to prepare for this Super Mario, the Super Nintendo World, is they're going to build more hotels across the freeway and have like an overpass or underpass or something, which makes sense.
Yeah, or a bus or something.
They're going to have something, yeah, because they're building another hotel right now, so. They don't have as much room as like what Disney has in Florida, but they are utilizing every square inch of that place.
Mm.
So I'm just trying to figure out where this would fit in that puzzle.
Only time will tell.
Is it going to be a third park? Is it going to be part of Islands of Adventure? Is it going to be part of Hollywood Studios?
I would imagine it'd be part of Islands of Adventure, because that's the only thing that they can build extra upon, right?
Maybe. I mean, they
can't really build extra
out to the side somewhere.
On the main attraction of Universal, there's really no more room.
Not really, no, not much at all.
So only time will tell. We'll find out in like 10 years.
Won't be that long. Here's another topic I wanted to talk about here, and this before it gets too long. Justice League is coming out sometime, right?
Yes. So, I did hear about the tragic story.
I did. That's why I want to talk about that.
Yeah,
we haven't
talked about it on the show yet, I don't think.
So, Zack Snyder has dropped out of the movie because his daughter committed suicide. And
to deal with family issues.
To deal with family issues. At first he's like, well, I'm going to continue to work on the movie, and he figured out, no, I just want to distance myself. I can't do it. I'm take time off from my family,
which is a smart move on his part.
Great move. He needs to do that.
It'd be stupid for him not to do that.
I think it's important that we preface anything we're about to say by talking about this and acknowledging that whatever you think about Zack Snyder
directing abilities,
I would not wish this on anybody.
No, we're not trolling him because of this.
We didn't wish for that to happen.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw some really fucking horrible comments on when they first announced. I'm like, really?
There's really horrible people out there.
There really is. But the replacement for him to finish the movie has been announced as Joss Whedon.
Yeah, well, he's already in the Warner Brothers pocket because he's like lined up to do Batgirl.
Right.
So he's like, hey, Batgirl. We know you're prepping for Batgirl, but you want to hop on and just finish all the extra shooting that we have left.
But the newest article that just came out said that the reshoots are going to be more extensive than they originally thought. It's probably going to take all summer now. So does that mean there's going to be a delay on the movie or what?
I thought the movie was coming out this year.
I think so. It's like November-ish maybe?
I don't know.
They could probably do the reshoots and get those edited in and
for what I understand, now I don't know all the ins and outs, and I doubt we even know all the ins and outs of what's really happening. But for what I understand, Joss Whedon was brought in to do to finish up the like all the second unit stuff, because they still had a lot of second unit stuff, like a lot of stunt stuff to do.
Okay.
And then also there was a few dialogue scenes that was left. I think it was like the back half end of the movie that hasn't been done. And Joss Whedon made it clear that it's still Zack Snyder's movie. He's doing it in the vein that he left it, and he's not trying to change the look or the feel of the movie that Zack Snyder has put forward.
Correct.
So just because Joss Whedon is coming aboard doesn't mean it becomes a Joss Whedon's movie. It doesn't become Avengers Justice League style.
At the same time, at least what they're quoting in this article implies that he is making significant changes. The quote here says, "I have been told by a 100% vetted and more than reliable source," which you're kind of overselling it, and I question the reliable
name. I swear it's real.
That reshoots on Justice League have commenced in London under the helm of Joss Whedon, and that they will be, quote, significant. So much so that these reshoots are expected to take place through June and July and maybe into August. They are not your standard pickups.
Hey, who knows? I mean, only time will tell. We'll see the movie when it comes out.
I just saw Wonder Woman the other night, and we'll get to that next week once you guys get to see it.
Yeah, I was supposed to see it a couple nights ago, and it fell through.
Yeah, so. Me too.
So, I mean, I will say Wonder Woman is the best DC movie that's come out in a long time.
It's a low bar.
You can't really judge it based on that, because they had Suicide Squad, which fucking sucked. And then they had Batman versus Superman, and then Man of Steel. And they have a small roster to pick from.
Right. Okay. True.
But not to take anything away from Wonder Woman, this is a totally historical movie, because this is the first time a female superhero such as Wonder Woman coming to the big screen.
And directed by
directed by a female director who is a veteran from Game of Thrones and other series.
Yes. I will say you guys are going to have a good time watching this movie. It's a very good movie.
Yet to be for seen.
It's all set in World War I, so it felt more like a war movie with just Wonder Woman in there. I'm not saying that as a bad way at all. I thought it was really well done.
Well, she was the best thing about Batman versus Superman.
She's great. I think she has a lot of charisma. She's very, very good in this movie. She acts well, but it's, you know, everything about her,
role.
She's likable and it's all believable. It's really, there's a couple of really moments in it. I'm like,
the only thing I can't get over that I keep seeing in the trailer is the speed ramping that Zack Snyder did, like when 300 came out. It just feels like a little overused in a trailer.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm going to see a lot of that in the movie.
What do you mean by speed ramping?
It's, you know, where like she goes really fast and it slows down.
Yeah.
And they go really fast and it slows down again.
Not a lot of that in the movie.
It looks like a lot of it in the trailer.
Okay.
Maybe I'm
so used to it now. I don't even pay attention
it's kinda
anymore.
Like the it's kind of like bullet time from the Matrix.
Yeah.
It's like then everybody did it and you stopped noticing.
Yeah.
But,
pretty much.
And I don't know. I kind of feel like that shtick got old after, and it also feels like only Zack Snyder should do it because that's his shtick. But whatever. It is what it is. I'm excited to see it. I hear a lot of good things. Not just you praising it, but a lot of people on the internet seem to like it.
Don't get me wrong. I didn't praise it. Like, it's not better than some of the Marvel movies. It's as good as a lot of the Marvel movies.
Just saying, you know, DC shot first now. Now it's time for Marvel to answer with their woman superhero.
Yeah. Captain Marvel will be next.
Yeah. Hopefully it's good.
Hopefully.
And it has to be better than just mediocre.
Captain Marvel's not the name-recognized character that Wonder Woman is, though.
No. Not even close.
Everybody knows who the fuck Wonder Woman is.
And plus, she's such a big icon.
Yes.
She's a DC icon.
Yeah. She's the top three.
Yeah.
There's Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. That's it. Captain Marvel's not that caliber. Sorry.
I had to figure out who Captain Marvel was. And originally, Captain Marvel wasn't a woman. It was a dude.
Well, it's Captain Marvel.
Whatever, dude.
No, I'm...
Don't... Not semantics. No.
No, I'm serious. That's true. Different character completely.
Okay.
All right. So we'll move on from there.
Sure. Next topic.
I don't want to get all geeky. That's pretty much it that I want to talk about for now. Anything else?
Do you want to rapid fire some of the stuff that's been showing up on Facebook?
We had some Facebook submissions. Let's all do right. this.
So, all right. So did a call out for people to give us something to talk about, and they did. So,
thank you, Internet.
My friend Taylor, how's it going, Taylor? Asks how he wants to talk about how overrated Cannibal Corpse's early material is. Do you have an opinion
extremely.
On that?
Extremely overrated.
Well, for you would say that.
I fucking don't
Chris
even know.
Chris Barnes, I'm not a huge fan of Chris Barnes.
I'm not a Chris Barnes fan either.
So I can sort of see that. I mean, there's some good songs here and there, but I tend to like the later material, anything from like the late, like middle 90s on.
Yeah. I liked it when it was more Cannibal and less corpsey.
I like it with more corpse.
I like it was more corpse.
Yeah, more corpsey, less Cannibal. We differ there. What about you?
So I'm not like a huge Cannibal Corpse fan. I've got a few of their albums in my collection, but I prefer Corpse Grinder as you know, and that material.
I like when they start when they really groove on, but keep it real brutal too.
I think like maybe my favorite Cannibal Corpse song is Frantic Disembowelment.
Okay.
I like that one. It's just,
that's a title.
Yeah. And the song sounds like it. It's you know, I like it. I dig it.
I still like Fucked with a Knife a lot too, but that's earlier.
Yeah, that is older.
It's a good song though.
They're not one of my favorite death metal bands. Not a huge Cannibal Corpse fan. Glad they're around. Glad they're doing what they do. There's definitely been some historic heavy metal highlights that have come out of Cannibal Corpse. They've done some iconic work. I will say that. They're just not one of my personal favorites. But if I'm choosing, I'm going to agree that I prefer later Cannibal Corpse over early Cannibal Corpse. My wife says she wants us to talk about the Millennial Murder Machine, which I think is largely outside the scope of this show.
But that'd
but
be a great
it's a great metal band.
Metal band
name.
I would love to start a metal band.
Millennial
Who's
Murder
that name?
Machine.
Let's do it.
Pretty great.
That's our new band name.
I'm ready. Let's do it. I've been wanting to start a band again.
But
let's do it.
What she's referring to is all this slew of articles that's been coming out over the past year or so about X industry is dying because millennials are selfish bastards.
Fucking millennials.
Or whatever. Millennials are simultaneously greedy misers who don't go spend money and therefore commerce is dying, but then at the same time they're all broke as fuck because they have no work ethic
and they're killing Applebee's because they eat at too many food trucks.
Yes, that's been a legitimate argument.
Yeah, I know.
That's why those food trucks keep parking outside of Applebee's.
So anyway, that's what she's referring to, but I think that's outside the scope of the kind of thing we do here usually, but we can agree that that's a good band name.
Yes.
My old roommate Gabe wants to talk about David Vincent's I Am Morbid, and I did not know about this. Did you know about this?
Okay, I did know about this.
Is that a movie?
No.
It's
so basically, yeah. I looked it up real quick. In short, what I learned is that when David Vincent was removed from Morbid Angel again, he has now formed what is essentially a Morbid Angel cover band.
It is a cover band, and I did. There's actually a video that I saw. They played in Japan recently, and I watched some of the video. And okay, so the Morbid Angel that's touring now, that's actually Morbid Angel, isn't playing any Dave Vincent.
Are they not?
Era. No, not at all.
Huh.
So only, Steve Tucker. Thank you. I've met him before. And so that's I Am Morbid. It's picking up all those other songs.
I mean, the old band name's in the title.
I know.
I mean, so he's not trying to hide it.
So basically, no. Does that include the infamous I album? Like, is David Vincent owning that one and playing? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Is he playing that stuff?
I don't know.
So,
I know Tim Young, who was in Morbid Angel for a while. He's in this new band.
Yeah.
Guy from the band, I think Celador, guitar player.
The fuck is that?
That's a picture of Dave Vincent dressed up as a country guy.
Because he was doing that.
He did a country album at one point.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about poses before earlier, right?
Well, yeah. And if he wants to do a country album, let him fucking do a country album. But, and I did see a live performance of this You know, it's not, it wasn't that bad, but
wasn't that good
it's a
either.
Cash grab. It really is.
So I'll say to Rob, we'll get to you, buddy. Will, the most common aluminum alloy is alloy 3003. It is the most widely used of all aluminum alloys and is one of the strongest.
Not unobtainium?
No, it's not unobtainium.
Is it what's used to make Coke cans?
Apparently you can see in Pandora, the world of Avatar, you can see unobtainium on display in the
Ooh.
Can.
Ooh. Is it floating?
Maybe.
Because that's the only way I want to see unobtainium.
Yeah.
Steven Laster, another friend of mine, asks, how about how Pentatonix is a weakened ripoff of Van Canto? I know who Pentatonix are. I don't know who Van Canto is.
Van Canto, yes. I've actually listened to them. They started, you know how like Apocalyptica started only doing covers?
Right, right.
They started mostly doing cover songs. They're an all a cappella metal group. They do have a drummer, but everything else is all vocals.
That sounds interesting. I
it is
check
interesting.
That out.
I'm surprised you never heard of them before.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised now
as
well.
Is it the same thing as that other band? What was that one band we did for George Hayes Metal?
What band did we do for George Hayes Metal?
I forget the name of them.
I don't know.
You'll have to be more specific.
Yes.
The one we just did recently, right now, today.
Night Flight Orchestra.
Night Flight Orchestra. You never heard of them. And now they're all awesome for you. All right, crickets. All right, never mind. Yeah.
John Winningham from the Texas Metal Show asks
us
to discuss the Weatherfall debut album, which I don't have anything to say about. Do you have anything?
It's the first time I ever heard about it.
Yeah. So
what is it?
I know that he was talking about them, but I am not familiar with the material, so unfortunately.
Weatherfall?
Witherfall.
Witherfall.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I don't have anything to contribute to that question.
We will check him out and get back to you.
I'll have to check him out and get back.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Yep.
I always like new bands, and he always has a pretty good taste.
Yep. So thanks for everybody for, interacting and give us...
Thank you, Internet.
Thank you, Internet.
Internet, thank you. If you want to actually give us topics like that, this is fun. I like this interaction like that with these quick topics. You can email msrcast@gmail.com, or you can find us on the Twitter, our Facebook page, our Instagram, all at Metal Geeks. You can find us on our personal pages and, you know, give us topics. And you can send a smoke signal. We'll find it somewhere. thanks for our topics for this week. And let's wrap up the show.
Word. So it's that time of the week where we talk about what's been tickling our little geeks.
It's true. I have something.
I don't know if y'all done this in the past couple of...
No, we haven't.
Oh, so what has been tickling your geeks in this past month or so, Carrie?
I will start. Next week starts E3.
Ooh.
I'm excited for that.
You're such a video game nerd.
You know I am. Video game geek.
Oh, sorry. Geek.
Right. So it starts next week.
What are you expecting to see? What are you hoping to see?
I'm hoping... for a fucking release date for Kingdom Hearts 3.
I thought they already had that.
No, never.
I've never played a single one of those games.
What? God damn it. I don't know. Do you like RPG style games?
Like it's JRPG.
Well, it's more action.
I'm not a big Final Fantasy fan.
I'm not either. Totally not.
So it looks like a Final Fantasy game. That's why I never played it.
There's Final Fantasy elements into it. For sure, but...
Like the turn-based style fighting game?
No, it's not turn-based at all. It's all, you know, straight action.
Oh.
That's why I like it so much.
Maybe I'll play it one day. Maybe I'll borrow it from you and play it.
I do have the PS4 remasters.
See? There you go.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to that and possibly the Scorpio, the new Xbox, getting some more information about that. They announced that one of the games I was really looking forward to in August has been pushed back till October.
Which is?
The new war, what is it called? The new Lord of the Rings game.
Oh.
Shadows of Mordor, but it's called Shadow Wars, of Wars of Mordor or something like that?
Like Shadow of War, I think.
Shadow of War, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks good. The first game is amazing. I love the last game.
It's one of my favorite games of all time.
Did you play that game?
Yes, I 100%ed it.
Yeah, I was about to say, you would love that game.
I need to go back and do that. It's 100% that game.
I don't think I've ever 100%ed that.
I got the DLC for Dead Rising 4, where actually, spoiler, at the end of the game, you die and become a zombie, and you come back to life.
No.
In the DLC, you come back to life, and you're a zombie. but it pisses me off because it's a short DLC game, right? But you only have like an hour and a half, and it's like real time, and then you get bombed, and you're like, oh, over. I was like, fucking really? I've tried it twice to try to beat it, and I haven't got through it yet. I hate that shit.
And it's Dead Rising 4?
Yeah, the DLC for it. I think it's called Frank's Rising or something. I can't remember what it's called.
Because Frank dies at the end of the game?
Yeah.
So?
Looking forward to that. And Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2 got announced?
Yeah, I like the first one a lot.
Oh, yeah. The whole storyline is supposed to be about Kang destroying all the timelines and fucking everything up.
Oh, cool. Right? So they're not going with a movie storyline with the first one.
This is like a direct sequel to the Lego Super Heroes, which was like a brand new storyline and all that.
It sounded like I remember playing it, and I remember it having a lot of movie elements to it, like the stuff from
Lego
the
Avengers did, but this one, the first one did not. These are more comic book versions of them. So,
and I'm really excited for Spider-Man to come out.
The movie?
No, the game. From E3.
Yeah.
I'm hoping they'll come out with a date. And also see in-game footage.
The Naughty Dog game?
Yeah. Well, no.
No, not Naughty Dog.
It's the guys who did Ratchet & Clank.
Right.
What are they called?
I'm a huge fan of them, and I can't draw in a blank right now.
Who knows?
Insomniac
Games.
Not the band Insomnium. The Insomniac.
Yeah, yeah, they did the Infamous games, too.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm excited for E3 to give gameplay footage of that and a release date.
Are you excited for a new Doom game?
Are they going to come out with another?
I have no idea.
Oh.
I mean, I'm still playing the last one. It's fucking great. the replay on
it. He's getting a lot of replay value.
I am getting a lot of replay value off of it. If they wanted to do release some single player DLC, that'd be great. Oh, yeah. I have the season pass for it, but it's all multiplayer related.
Oh, really?
Which is fine. Like, the multiplayer is okay. But that's not why I play Doom. I play Doom for the first player experience, single player experience. And if they wanted to add some content to that, I would be quite happy.
You know what I'm going to pick up, though? You can't buy it in the stores, only digitally, but Friday the 13th came out.
Oh, yeah.
And
I was waiting on it. PlayStation 4 as well.
PS4, PC, and Xbox One. I was waiting on it for a little bit because they did an update to it. So it fixed a lot of the people were having trouble finding a game to play into. So now that they've sort of fixed it, they say.
Not always. Happens.
I've been watching people play it on YouTube.
So I'm probably going
to
pick that up.
It's cool to see people kill Jason.
Oh, yeah.
They all gang up on him. It's awesome.
There's like only one way to kill him. There's like just steps you have to take.
Yeah, there's certain things you have to do in order to kill him.
It looks fun, though.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
It's cool.
You know, the game I'm sort of thinking about picking up on the Xbox One is at City Skyline.
I have City Skylines for PC.
Do you?
So I'm a real big geek for that kind of simulator game. I have a weird fascination with like city maps and city history.
I think it's the closest thing of you being a god without actually being a god
or a city planner.
I don't want to be a city planner in real life, but no. But I'm interested by it. I don't know why. I'm interested with like the history of how, you know, societies, you know, organize themselves. That's interesting to me. And it may stem from SimCity because I played the first SimCity game. I didn't play it on PC. I played it on Super Nintendo, and I played the shit out of it. I loved it, and I've played most of the SimCity games since then until EA ruined the franchise and killed Maxis in the process.
Oh, yeah. They did.
But City Skylines is what that SimCity should have been. It's really cool. It's very in depth. You can ruin your shit real quick if you're not paying attention. Like you actually have to pay attention to like sewage management and make sure that you are sending sewage to the right place.
Oh,
because if you send your sewage
out to the ocean,
if you send your sewage upstream of your water source, you've now got a Flint, Michigan situation on your hands.
Oh, nice.
Timely.
So, not quite like Flint, but yeah, like you can be piping sewage back into the city if you don't pay attention to where you place stuff like that.
And they say the controls for the Xbox One work really well for that game.
I was wondering because I play on PC with a mouse and keyboard and everything, very different. So
I'm waiting for it to go on sale. It's like $40 for a digital download only.
Mm-hmm.
So once it hits like a sale price, I will probably pick it up because it looks like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I like those kind of games too. I guess I don't have a lot of time to sit in front of a computer and play those games anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what's tickling your geek, George?
I am excited for Edgar Wright's new movie coming out the end of this month called Baby Driver.
Did you see he's going to be a guest at some con?
Who?
Edgar Wright, and they're premiering this movie there.
Shut up. Where?
No, I'm serious.
What con?
Keep on going. I'm going to look it up.
Anyway, it has what's-his-face from House of Cards in it. And John Hamm.
John Hamm's always pretty good actor.
Yeah. It looks like a great movie. It's a heist movie about a kid who like had an accident, and so he has to constantly... He listens to music to drown out the hum that he hears in his ears. And so the whole movie is fueled by this like soundtrack, and there's like 30 to 35 songs, full-length songs.
And he's like this like super badass getaway driver.
Right.
That's like the whole deal.
Maybe they'll have Cannibal Corpse in it.
No, I don't think so.
And it's kind of like, I saw a trailer for it. I think maybe when we went to go see Alien Covenant, or I don't remember which movie it was prior to, but I did see a trailer. I didn't know anything about it before then, and I watched the trailer, and it seems like he's like a getaway driver for hire, and like he doesn't need to know about what shit you're up to. He doesn't care. He just puts his music in and drives like a motherfucker.
Yeah, he drives like a badass. And apparently, I don't know if this is going to happen in the plot or not, but something goes wrong or he sees something that he's not supposed to see and he wants to do one more job and get out.
Okay.
And he ends up falling in love and so on and so forth. And that's, you know, all part of the story. I really like Edgar Wright's... style. He's easily one of my favorite directors ever since he's came out with Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, World's End, and Scott Pilgrim Saves the World.
So it's 2 weeks from now, next weekend actually, June 16th through 18th in Washington, D.C.
So you guys want to go to Washington?
AwesomeCon is the show.
And Edgar Wright's going
to
be there?
Edgar Wright is going to be there.
And David Tennant. Yeah, but I'd rather go see Edgar Wright. I have posters for him. For him to sign.
That would be cool.
Let's go. What are you waiting for?
I don't know.
Southwest is having a sale. We can do this.
Let's go right now.
Let's just stop recording. Let's go. No, but anyway, the movie looks really great. I'm excited for it. And that's what I'm really looking forward to see.
There you go. Edgar Wright to the convention. That's pretty cool, right?
That's cool. Why can't we get him here at Houston? What's up with that?
I don't know.
Come on, Carrie. You work at Comic-Palooza. Make this happen.
I'm not a baby driver, though. I don't know. So what are you, what's tickling your geek, Mr. Birtle?
Sometimes the things that tickle me are not necessarily timely things.
That's fine.
It's just stuff that I get curious about and get into.
He likes old-time tickles.
I'm one of those, like, you know, I'm one of those old school nerds where I'm a nerd because I go searching for knowledge and stuff like that. So I've been reading about Buckminster Fuller. Do you know who he was?
I do not.
Familiar with Buckminster Fuller, George? You know that name?
No, I cannot say I am.
It's a name I've come across a lot in several times through a lot of things that I've gotten into. I've came across it in my art education and several other places since then. But there's one reason why you, Carrie, should know who Buckminster Fuller is. The reason is that he coined the term Spaceship Earth.
Oh.
And he was the inventor of the geodesic dome.
Very cool.
So he's...
Much props.
Yeah. So he was a engineer and kind of a philosopher and a futurist and kind of a social engineer sort of, but he approached it all in a very artistic way, a very philosophical way, and he's just kind of an interesting figure. I've just been kind of reading about him.
That's cool.
Just he's one of those like 20th century Renaissance men who just
way ahead of his time,
had crazy ideas and was kind of brilliant, and seems like the kind of figure that Walt Disney would have looked to for inspiration, sure. For especially when you look at like Epcot and stuff like that. Those are the kinds of concepts that Buckminster Fuller spent his life concerned with, like how do people live, what is the most effective way to handle things like housing and transportation and things of that sort.
Speaking of that, sort of like the Walt Disney thing, I just finished the book from Michael Nesmith, mm-hmm. which is a really great read. If you don't know who he is, he's one of the monkeys, but he is a smart, smart guy. And he has a book out called Infinite Tuesday. It's an autobiographical riff. So basically, which means it's not like, here's a story. It plays around. The coolest thing about him talking about his being best friends with like Douglas Adams and, you know, hanging out with like the Monty Python crew and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But he talks about Walt Disney being one of his big influences as, you know, thinking outside the box and, you know, never being afraid to try new things and going after his dreams. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of great stories in the book about how he's basically like the guy who created like what MTV turned into. So he sold the idea to Nickelodeon and all this kind of stuff. It's a really good read if you don't know much about his story.
Hmm. Cool.
It's cool. But yeah, he talked about the how much he looked up to Walt Disney. He mentions him a lot in the book.
One of the things that Buckminster Fuller patented, he had the first patent for a world map in the United States.
Oh, wow.
And that's kind of weird to think about. Again, my interest in cities and things, I have an interest in maps. I like them. I like looking at them. I'm not a cartographer by any stretch of the imagination, but I find some kind of aesthetic value in maps. Well, he patented the first world map in the United States in the 20th century, and I can't remember what the name of it was off the top of my head, but what was significant about it was that it removes the stretching problem that we have in like the Mercator map that we're most familiar with. It changes the size of some land masses to account for the curvature of the globe. Some stuff gets stretched out and some stuff gets
what do you mean?
Smaller. So like, yeah, it's not accurate. The world is round. It's a globe.
Shit. It's not flat.
So, no, it's not.
Then why are maps like that?
So his map is actually composed of triangles.
I've seen that, yeah,
and and it's all modular.
Okay.
So there's no center of the map. You can make any point the center of the map and then reorient the entire map around
it. Sure.
And that speaks to a kind of universalist philosophy that he had. And that was his point in making the map this way, is that there is no center of the world. The center of the world is wherever you are, because that's the center of your world.
I know a lot of people that feel that way too.
That's important from a global socioeconomic political viewpoint. That's an important point to be made, and he was making that point decades and decades ago.
The world is revolved around me. Okay.
So I've made a note.
It's gonna be huge.
We are adding a new segment every time we record. It's called Brutal Education.
I'm. You want to know about all of the crazy stuff that I spend my time reading about?
That's going to be our topic. Is we're going to give you some time to tell us something that we don't know each week.
Isn't that what Tickle My Geek is, though?
Sort of, but this is going to be taking it a step further.
Okay.
This is
going to be a more in-depth edition.
This is stuff that you didn't want to know about.
All right, so that I guess it's all done for Tickling Our Geek. Let's get into our sponsor and then wrap it up.
Word.
Hey man, what's going on? Why are you throwing such a tantrum?
Because I don't know where to find the coolest collectibles for the best prices. I'm looking for my favorite brands like Banpresto and Artfex and Bandai and Funko and more. Not to mention my favorite franchises like Marvel or Dragon Ball Z, DC and One Piece.
One Piece, dude. Don't throw a tantrum. Instead, head over to tantrumcollectibles.com. They have pop vinyls, character statues, plushes, and more for the best price. You know what? In fact, right now, if you head to tantrumcollectibles.com and use the coupon code METALGEEKS, you will get 10% off your order.
Wow, you're right. They carry my favorite brands and franchises. I love tantrumcollectibles.com. Check it out. That cool robot. Sorry, I misread that.
All right, take two. Go ahead.
Oh, you should keep that. That's what I was going to say.
I'm keeping that.
You should keep that. Wow, you're right. They carry my favorite brands and franchises. I love TantrumCollectibles.com. And check out that cool robot.
So next time, don't throw a tantrum. Go to TantrumCollectibles.com and use the coupon code MetalGeeks for 10% off your order. That's right. Go to TantrumCollectibles.com. MetalGeeks, 10% off.
How cool.
Yeah. All right, so that's our new sponsor right there, guys. If you can't tell, this is the second week they've been a sponsor for the show. TantrumCollectibles.com. I don't think we can say any more than we just did. I don't know if we're going to use that verbiage
anymore.
So, Alpha, you're welcome. There you go. That was straight from our guy over there. We'll definitely be talking about these guys because they do have a lot of cool collectibles and things like that. And anything you're looking for, they can get it for you. They can pre-order it and order it straight to you. And you can save 10%.
Woo!
I like saving money.
Of course you do.
Is that a... Yeah.
Instead of what?
I'm not even going there.
Me neither.
All right. So wrapping up this episode, I think we touched on a lot of different topics.
Yeah, we did.
Had a lot of fun.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. All right. So let's do our wrap up here. So, of course, you can find us on the web at metalgeeks.net. You can also find us on the Twitter, the Instagram, Facebook, at Metal Geeks for all those.
We're not at MySpace.
We're not on MySpace. You can find us on iTunes, though. Subscribe to us there. Give us a review. Give it a 5-star. You can also find us on Google Play.
Snitcher's a different website. You don't want to go to that one.
No, that's Snatcher. Yeah, there's a lot of cool places to interact with us. You can find us, of course, on our personal Facebook pages, too. And, you know, give us topics and ideas and feedback and all that good stuff.
And have fun with us.
Have fun.
Yeah.
And we did mention your I don't know if you listened to the show last week because you weren't on it.
I was not on it.
Did you say you didn't listen to it?
I haven't listened to anybody's podcast. I'm still catching up on old podcasts.
So we did mention your company, Grey Bear Comics.
Woohoo!
So we're not going to mention it this week.
Oh.
No, I'm joking. Go ahead.
You can find me at Grey Bear Comics. It's G-R-A-Y. Check out our latest comic book, Speak No Evil. We're on Comixology. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Grey Bear Comics, G-R-A-Y. And that's it. Also, if you want to check out the show that I do with Justin, it's on Mind Fudge Comedy.
Your double booking show.
Yeah, my double booking show, which I didn't double book. Someone else did.
And
don't blame me.
Brutal Dave?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter and my artist profile on Facebook at Red Viking Dave.
Cool. Well, I think that wraps it up. Anything else? As you blow into my mic, what was that about?
That was a fly.
Sure. You just wanted to blow my mic.
Yeah, I do.
All right. On that note, I'm going to leave now. thanks for tuning in to episode number 131 of the Metal Geeks podcast. We will see you guys soon. Oh, shit. Wait. What do we have to say?
Keep it metal.
And always keep it geeky, motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.